Thank you, Dan. Good morning. I really feel inadequate today, but I appreciate would definitely appreciate your prayers and interest in your prayers always. You know, I have had this. I don't know. Actually, it was even before Dan asked me to preach. I've had this kind of burning thought in my mind, and you know, as we sat here, it was a couple weeks ago. Our brother David spoke, and I thought David was going to preach the sermon that I already had kind of put together, and so I would ask an interest in your prayer, and definitely appreciate those prayers. And as well, a prayer for each one of us. And I think we have this opportunity to take in the message. And my hope is this is from the Lord, and this is what He wants for us today. You know, I want to start by, I would encourage us. We asked Dan asked in prayers earlier for our sister Dana, and I hope David doesn't mind me saying this, but I ran by their house this morning and had the opportunity to minister to our sister. You know, you know, my encouragement is we need to continue to remember our sister. She's in a lot of pain. She's uncomfortable. And my encouragement is each one of us, we take the opportunity is, if you're a writer, send her a card. You know, if you text, send her a text. And I know she would appreciate that and appreciate that encouragement from each of us. I want to dive in, and I've got, normally, a lot of times when I deliver or feel like I have a sermon to give, a lot of times I have a PowerPoint and it's a good guide for me to follow. Today I don't have a PowerPoint, and I want to draw your minds and kind of challenge you to think a little bit as we think about some things that we see in our lives today, as we see around us today, as we see going on in the world today. And there's a big word, really short word, but there's a big word that we hear a lot about right now, and that word is hate. So if I asked you, if I had a poll and you would answer the question, you know, is hate a bad thing? Simple, right? Yes, hate is a bad thing. And we teach our children, right, that they shouldn't hate, right? But I think sometimes what happens, and especially we look around the world today, and for each of us, I would probably say that, you know, we see everything that's going on in the news, we see everything that's going on in the world around us, and, well, you know, that's somebody else that hates that or dislikes that or that miserable thing. But what I would argue to us today is that if I would put up a spectrum and I would show at one end of the spectrum would be hate, right? Miserable, bad, horrible, right? And then at the other end of that spectrum would be, what do you think would be at the other end of the spectrum of hate? Love, absolutely, absolutely. And so my question to us, and the thing that I want to kind of draw our thoughts in here today is, are there varying degrees of hate? If there's that spectrum, we have love on one end of the spectrum, and we have hate at the opposite end of the spectrum, are there varying degrees, right? If I slid the you know, from one end of the spectrum to the other and I went halfway, right? I'm halfway love and halfway hate. Is that okay? No.
Doesn't look good to me.
Right. It doesn't look good to me. It's kind of like, I would argue, with sin. Are there varying degrees of sin that's okay? No, right? If there's a similar spectrum that says, I have sin on one end of the spectrum and I have no sin at the other end of the spectrum, is there degrees of sin that are okay? No, there's not. And you know, I want you to think about, so I'm going to share, I've got a whole bunch of words, and these are synonyms for hate. And what was interesting when I was pulling this up, and it was kind of a picture that I looked at, if I had a slide, I would show you, right? But in this picture that they show words circled in red that are really hard and very much, you know, probably on that heavy end of hate. And then there's words that are lighter, So the lightest word they said that probably if it was that spectrum, it would be, you know, the lightest word of hate was no love lost. How many of you have ever heard that or said that? Right? No love lost. Ah, you know, no big deal. It is what it is. How many, everybody like the phrase, it is what it is, right? I probably overuse the word at work all the time, right? It is what it is. Well, what is it? Right? Same thing with hate. You know, as you think about that spectrum of hate, you know, no love lost, no big deal. You know, it is what it is. Right? To the other end, the hard end, the end that's close to, you know, it's animosity, it's hatred, it's horror, it's hostility, it's loathing. Right? And I think, and my guess is that if each one of us were to kind of dig deep in our hearts and really think about that word hatred, we would look at all the things that are going on in our world today, you know, and we would look and we would say, you know, that hate exists for people outside of here. Right? But then, fast forward, you know, there are things within our lives that if we were to look deep down in and we would say, you know, there's either hate or there's love, no spectrum, right? It's either hate or love. Are there things, are there times in our lives when maybe we're not so far on this love side of the spectrum? Right? Even with our brothers and sisters, you know, and one of the things that has kind of drawn my thought here is that here we are as what was two locals, now one. Right? And there are changes, there are challenges, there are, you know, things that we're going to go through as a body of Christ. Right? Not a local, but a body of Christ. There are things that we're going to go through, and we're going to challenge this hate versus love. I want to do an exercise, and I want you to play along. David had a Mahomes jersey. I don't have a Mahomes jersey, but I've got this little exercise that I want you to play along, and I want you to kind of follow my thought here. All right, we're going to do an exercise. Everybody think of a number between 1 and 10, and if you've heard this, you know, don't share it, but think of a number between 1 and 10. Now, you have to understand, I grew up in the Raytown School District. So typically when I do exercises like this, I think of easy numbers, right? Small numbers. But any number between 1 and 10. When you have that number, multiply it by 9. So again, you can go back. Raytown graduate, you would typically pick a lower number just to make it easier. But pick a number between 1 and 10 and multiply that number by 9. Everybody have a number. Okay, now I want you to subtract 5 from that number. Sorry. Number between 1 and 10, multiply it by 9. If it's a two-digit number, add the numbers together. All right, I'm going to start over. Sorry, this is going to take a while. Number between 1 and 10, multiply that number by 10. Milo, give your mom a calculator, right? If it's a two-digit number, add them together, and now subtract 5 from that number. Milo, are you following me? All right. Number between 1 and 10, multiply by 9, two-digit number, add them together, now subtract 5 from that number. Now think of a letter in the alphabet that corresponds with the number you are thinking about. So if your number is 1, it's A. If your letter is 2, it's B. Everybody following so far? 1 and 10, multiply by 9, 2 digits, add them together, subtract 5. Now think of a letter in the alphabet that corresponds with the number you're thinking about. Okay. Everybody have a letter in their head. All right. Now think of a country that starts with the letter you are thinking of. Spell that country in your head. Think about the second letter in that country name. Now quickly think of an animal whose name begins with that letter. And now think of the animal's color. How many of you are thinking of a gray elephant in Denmark? Okay, so here's the exercise. How many people started with, I'm sure everyone, right, simple Raytown kid would have started with one. How many of you started with one? Two? Three? Four? Go all the way up. Did we all have the same number? No. But where, if you followed, I guarantee you, I've done this multiple times. I don't care how you do it. If you're following along, if your math works, you're going to come with a gray elephant in Denmark or something very close to that. Right? And what is the idea behind this? Did we all start with the same number? No, absolutely not. We all come to this in a different approach. We all come to life with a different number. We all come to experiences. You know, I really appreciated, and it's been a while, and I remember Michelle showed me a post that our sister Manon shared. You know, and this whole idea that she was sharing is that, you know, so many times we assume that we know where someone is coming from, right? We assume because of our experiences that we know where everybody's at. And I think the challenge for us, you know, if I could read all the scriptures but jump right ahead to the point that I think really applies to us is that we all have so many different life experiences. We have different opinions. We have different experiences. I've been trying to read about hate in our lives and why does hate exist and why does all of these challenges exist. And I was reading this article earlier this week, and it talked about this whole experience of it is easier to agree, human nature is, it is easier to agree with something that is bad than to go against what is that norm. Right? The idea is if you're sitting and listening to someone speak, you know, if you go to a conference or if you, not church conference, right? But if you go to a conference for your job or you go and you're listening to someone speak and at the very end, you know, someone says, man, that was boring. That was horrible. You know, just a waste of my time. And your reaction is what? A lot of times human nature is our reaction is, yeah, you're right. It was horrible. Right? And I'm not saying that that's hate in itself, but the point that I'm driving at is that this negativity exists, but recognizing, you know, so many times I think we're called as Christians, we're called as brothers and sisters sometimes that we have our opinions, we have our thoughts. You know, there's a scripture that talks about, in fact, it popped up on my phone this morning, iron sharpeneth iron, right? Everybody know that scripture. I'll tell you, I struggle with that scripture sometimes, not because I think it's bad. I agree with it 100%, right? But if that iron sharpeneth iron, if that iron cuts or inflicts or hurts someone through the process, I struggle with that, right? Because as brothers and sisters, this is our place. We are together as a body of Christ that have joined together and we have the opportunity to come in and find comfort and find strength from each other. Right? That doesn't mean that we're not going to disagree. Right? That doesn't mean that we're not going to have conflict. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have, you know, I think Rusty's crazy and I don't agree with where Rusty is. But I love Rusty. Right? It's no varying degree of hate. It is love. Luke, the 6th chapter, the 27th through the 37th verse. And I'm going to try to go through some scriptures. I've got a lot of things I want to read and I want to share. But the scripture, Luke 6, 27 through 37. This is Christ speaking. He says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good to them, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You know, I think about that verse, and I think about so many times, you know, is we read that verse, or I shouldn't say we. I read that verse, and I can easily justify in my mind, you know, that which I do, you know, I don't have hatred, or I don't have disgust, or I don't have, you know, that nasty look, or no love lost thought about something, right? There are things that I know for my own life. I look at things that are going on, and I say, you know, that's just Jennifer Oldham. She's crazy. Right? How many times is it, you know, we look and we can look on the news and we see that spectrum of hate, and it's hard, horrible hate. And that's the example that it goes on in the world. But then when it comes to us as brothers and sisters in a bond of Jesus Christ, how many times do we, you know, I don't really like Trevor Ratt. He's a pretty weird guy. He talks funny. I think the idea for us is you know, is that we are called to a higher level in our love with our brothers and sisters. We are called to an expectation that says, you know, if I disagree with Milo, it's my responsibility to go to him. And vice versa, I think if Milo thinks that I'm upset with him, I would argue that I think he's got to come to me as well too. Right? It's uncomfortable. It's horrible. I don't want confrontation. But I think as brothers and sisters, we're called to a higher power. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was traveling, and I was just in a hotel one night and doing email for work, and it was a Monday night, and Daniel and Cody had their Monday night class. And so had the opportunity to dial in and listen and be a part of the conversation, and got into a conversation. It was an awesome class, and I really enjoyed the interaction and the conversation. But afterwards, Cody had texted me, and we were kind of having a little dialogue, and Cody sent me a sermon from my Uncle Frank fan. And it was good, and it sparked something and kind of sparked this thought in me, and I want to share a couple things that stood out in this sermon. And first off, my Uncle Frank, he was referencing 2 Chronicles, the second chapter. And it's a scripture I remember hearing my uncle reference many, many times. And very vividly, I could hear him, you know, saying this. And basically what he was talking about in this, in the fourth verse in 2 Chronicles, the second chapter, you know, and it's King Hezekiah. And he commanded the people, and it says, "Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord, my God, to get dedicated to him." Right? And I think, you know, within our lives, again, there's no varying degrees of these things within our lives. There is sin or there is no sin. Right? There is hate or there is no hate. Right? And there's no varying degrees. And we're called, just like in this verse, "I build a house to the name of the Lord, my God." Then he went on, and my Uncle Frank referenced Romans 12th chapter, the first verse, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And I went into my Bible, and I started kind of reading through those verses, you know, I'm not going to read it now, but I would encourage you to go back and read Romans, the 12th chapter, and read the entire chapter. My encouragement would be I hope you will go in and read it. But there's several things that really stood out to me in this verse and how it absolutely applies. You know, in the 14th verse, it says, "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." You know, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There's so many verses in that chapter that really drive us to that thought. I was listening to a podcast this week, and how many of you have ever heard the story of Corrie Ten Boom? If you were anywhere around my age, and Randy and Becky were your young people's leader, You know, we had several. I remember Randy referencing Corey Ten Boom multiple times and telling us the story. You know, and if you don't know the story of Corey Ten Boom, there's this amazing technology called Google. You can go in and Google search it, right? But I found an old 1972 guidepost article, and it was Corey Ten Boom's testimony. And I'm going to read a portion of it. I'm going to try not to read too much, but it really stood out to me. And so the story of Corey Ten Boom is she lived in Amsterdam, and her father was a watchmaker, I guess what we would call today a jeweler or had this repair. And their life was ultimately living in Amsterdam, and they were saving people that were going through, what's the right word? The Holocaust, absolutely, thank you. And you know, these were people that, Jews that were basically escaping the Nazis and were being brought in by the Ten Boom family. And ultimately what happened was is that they were turned into the Nazis and they were captured, and Corey and her sister were sent to a concentration camp. And she talks about this experience, and I want to read this experience that she has. Ultimately, Corey Ten Boom, through this concentration camp that she went into, she witnessed and saw her sister die at this camp. And she witnessed horrible atrocities, right? Horrible things. I remember I was in Germany one time, and I went to a concentration camp, and I just remember it was a heavy feeling that you see and you witness and you recognize that which was done to people. Horrible, absolutely horrible. And so here is Corey Ten Boom that sees this whole experience and lives and survive through a concentration camp. And she goes on, and this is where the article picks up, and it's the title of the article and guidepost was Corey Ten Boom on Forgiveness, written in 1972. And I'm going to read just a portion of it. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filling out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947. I had come to Holland to defeat Germany with a message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed to hear most in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture, maybe because the sea is never far from Holland's mind. I liked that's where forgiven sins were thrown, into the sea. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany, 1947. People stood up in silence. In silence, they collected their wraps. In silence, they left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment, I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones on it. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center floor, the shame of walking past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at the concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out, and he says, "A fine message, Fraulein. How good is it to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea?" Right? Recognize, here is Corey Ten Boom. Her experience is she's standing in front of these people in Germany, and she's explaining to them to be, you know, to forgive. God gives us the ability to forgive. And now she's approached by this very guard at the very camp who killed people that she saw and witnessed. And he says, you know, "How good is it to know that as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea?" And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocket rather than take the hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swing from his belt. It was the first time ever of my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned the concentration camp in your talk, he says. I was a guard there. And I realized, no, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives has prior condition that forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. And she says, and I want you to pay attention to this sentence, but forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. All right, I'm going to read that again and listen to that, what she says. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. She goes on to say, Jesus, help me. I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with my heart, with all my heart. Forgive us our trespasses. Jesus taught us to pray as we forgive those who trespassed against us. In the ashes of those letters, I was seeing yet another facet of his mercy. What more he would teach me about forgiveness in the days ahead, I didn't know. But tonight's was good news enough. When we bring our sins to Jesus, he not only forgives them, he makes them as if they had never been. Now, I recognize this verse or this story is, you could argue, somewhat of an extreme story, right? I don't think looking out in this room that we have these experiences that drive us to this inability to reach out our hand and shake the hand of a brother and sister, right? But what I know is that so many times is that we're going to be challenged, right? We are tasked with this opportunity. You know, somebody looked at my kid wrong. Right? Somebody, you know, they reprimanded my son, you know, as he was running through the church. And why would he do that? Right? Again, it goes to is I think we have this opportunity. You know, we're coming together as brothers and sisters from different backgrounds, different experiences. Right? I'm an East Local guy, right? And Dan, he's a Temple-Ot guy. And so surely we can't get along. Or, you know, we're going to get along, but, you know, I really just don't agree with Dan. Right? I think we're being challenged to a higher place. We're being challenged to say we have to come together as brothers and sisters. You know, and again, going back to that verse that I read much earlier in Luke, the sixth chapter. Right? We're being challenged and we're being called because there are more challenging things that we have to face. I don't fear what is to come. I don't look up to the sky and say, you know, the sky is crashing. There's horrible things that are going on in that world. There are horrible things. But we have a God that protects us. We have a God that watches over us. Mosiah, the first chapter, 118th through the 120th verse. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe that salvation was and is to come, in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. You know, I watching the blessing of the baby, and you can't set and see the blessing of the baby. You can't set and see, you know, this baby that was setting up here in front of us, and what an awesome being, right? An example of what is perfect, God's creation. And recognize, I guess, you know, I love the fact that this baby hasn't been corrupted, right? Sin has not faced this baby, right? Hatred has not faced this baby, right? And so many times, you know, I think, you know, for me, it's not a matter of hatred, right? I may not like you, or I may not like what's going on, or I may disagree with you, and then I don't want to talk to you about it. I think we're challenged, and I think we're being called to, as brothers and sisters, we got to deal with these things, right? We've got to go to our brother, and we got to say, you know, I don't know that I agree with that, so help me understand, right? What does that mean? I was on a sales call or a visit with one of the guys on my team, and this was the first time he met me, and we were out visiting this customer, and we were out talking, and my approach a lot of times is I'll be sitting there in a conversation like this, and I'll say, you know, when somebody's fired up about something or they're upset about something, and I'll sit there and I'll say, tell me more. Help me understand. Tell me more. Right? And this guy afterwards, this guy that's on my team, and it was really the first time we had an opportunity to spend time together, he said, you know, you kept asking that question, you know, tell me more. Tell me more. Why are you doing that? Right? And I can tell you why I do that is that so many times I think I know where you're coming from, right? My natural being is I'm going to assume what Sean is thinking. And I have to challenge myself to say, tell me more, right? My mom and dad have seen it. I had an opportunity. I sat down with my parents a couple of weeks ago. I was fired up about something, right? And they knew it. They could see it. And we were having a disagreement about something, right? And my mom said to me, Jeff, I don't think I don't know what she said exactly. I don't think you're listening to me, or, you know, something to the effect of, I don't know that you're really looking at the full picture here. And she was right. Right? How many times do we get into that? And we get fired up. I remember so many times as a father, horrible example, right? But Braden would do something, or Trent would do something, and I'd get fired up. Right? I just assume what happened. And how many times do we do that in our walk with our brothers and sisters? Right? Brothers and sisters, we're being called to set aside our differences. You don't have to like me, but we have to love our brother. And if we can't love our brother, and I'm not saying things are bad here, right? But I'm saying that we come from so many different experiences. I think we're being called to a higher level. I want to jump ahead. I'm going to go to Mark, the 12th chapter, the 29th through the 31st verse. And again, this is Christ speaking, and Jesus answered him and says, "The first of all commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is our Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and just the first through the third verse. I'm going to just read it quick and begin to wrap up. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." again, I think we're being called, and so often we can look around that everything that's going on in our lives around us, outside of this building, we see all the hatred and all the anger. Again, we see that horrible side of that hatred spectrum, right? And then we come, and I guess what I'm saying to us today, and what I hope you take away from this is that there is the other end of that spectrum, and there's nothing else outside of that. There is love. And how we figure out and how we navigate, we are not the enemy together, right, against each other. We know who the enemy is. We know who we're fighting against. And much like I look out at Alyssa and I see her holding her baby, you know, that perfection that God created, how awesome is that, right? It doesn't have the scars and the bumps and the bruises. It doesn't have the disagreements that happened between me and Trevor when we were having lunch and we're debating out a subject. It doesn't have those things that are working against it. It's got perfection, right? It's got purity. And our calling to us today, I think, is drawing our minds and remembering that. It's not a spectrum of varying degrees. It's love or it's hate. Thank you.